public buildings.
All right, this is a budget meeting for the Public Works Department. And here at the start of the meeting is Alderman Lappin, Alderman, what's your last name, sir?
Lappin.
Alderman Albright, myself, Alderman Salvucci, just joined by Alderman Loretto. So, Commissioner, whenever you are ready to make your presentation, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Board of Aldermen. This is the 2013 budget for public works. And what we're going to talk about is just a quick review of some of the accomplishments over last year, just a general overview of the specific budget, and then outcomes and strategies for fiscal year 13. Looking back on last year, what we accomplished, we were fortunate last year to get some extra money for our street paving. We got $2.8 million. Typically, we've had 1.7 in Chapter 90. Last year, the state increased it to 2.3. The city also added $500 because we did $2.8 million worth of work, 7 miles of street. So we did a lot of road work, and coincident with that, a little over 6 miles of sidewalks either installed or repaired while we were doing that work, and a number of sidewalks and curb betterments as well. For safer roadways, let me get out of the way here. We had new bike lanes. We put in 2.5 miles of bike lanes along Beacon Street. We connected new ones in Boston into a new center. And we also started a program of looking at all the traffic signals in the city. We got a grant of $160,000, matched that with $40,000. So we're going through all of our traffic signals. We're actually about 92. This is going to be fun, looking at 65 of them. Doing minor upgrades when they're in the cabinet, upgrading things as they can. And then they'll put together a plan of any major improvements we need to make in terms of detector loops or other instances with the controller cabinet. So through this process, we'll take a good look at the majority of the lights, the traffic signals in the city, and have a plan for improving them. Trash and recycling, we've done a good job of maintaining 36% curbside recycling. Enabled us to keep close to our targeted budget trash numbers for this past year. So it's 36 if you just look at curbside. It's actually 53% we recycle when you look at all the yard waste that Rumford Ave, the metal recycling, and all the other recycling we do. So it's very commendable numbers, and it's a lot of hard work. But not only the staff, but the residents themselves really good participation. Under water and sewer, we did 3 miles of rehab projects. Old Farm Road got the brunt of it.
Commissioner, may I interrupt you just for a minute? I think it would be appropriate if you introduce all your crew here so you sound like you're in your crew.
I don't think it'd be well, the problem is I can remember all the names. I point out with a laser and I find them, and then I'd be really stuck. So let me just point out Frank Farrar, our budget chief, Fred Russell, utilities director, Brian Zanaboni, deputy commissioner and highway director, Karen Griffey, administration director, Cliff Clint, station director.
That's his new nickname.
Lou Tavares, city engineer, and Elaine Gentile, environmental affairs director.
Thank you.
And you all know Maureen. She doesn't work for me.
I just thought that was
a good time. Worth mentioning anyway.
I meant to do that earlier.
Thank you. I should have followed that. So, water and sewer. Again, Old Farm Road got the brunt of it. We were replacing water, sewer, and drain lines in that street. So, we've got quite a bit of work, and we'll be paving it this year. Did a lot of work in West Newton Hill, a lot of those streets for water line cleaning line. Meter replacement. Vanguard, who's our contractor for installation, completed his work. One go around for everybody contacted to try to get the water meters replaced. We've got 563 exceptions. Those are people with bad plumbing that has to be repaired first, or the meter is back behind some drywall, they can't get to it. So those are exceptions we have to look at individually. Our staff has been trained to do all the meter replacements, so they're working with the homeowners, and when they're ready, our staff is replacing those meters. We're down to, I think it's like 400...
About 440.
We've put about 130
in the last month or so.
So we've taken that from 560 to to 440. So we'll finish that up this year, but we're working on that. And in addition, they also did about 500 different point repairs, so water leaks, sewer leaks, structures that collapsed. Snow, there wasn't much to say about snow this past year.
Okay.
You forget we actually did have about a dozen inches. We did go out plowing twice. We plowed the schools actually four times. Wasn't enough. We still had to pay a small amount to the contractor. We have a retainer in case we don't use them enough.
Oh, no.
We get paid about $12,000. So it's pretty small money, but it's worth to have them on retainers. But I do want to point out that it started a lot. Remember, our first storm was in October. And I don't remember the last time we had an October storm. I'm just glad it wasn't a precursor to the rest of the winter was like that. But I was fearful at that point. And then kind of forget that was so long ago. We left out another quiet one. I'm not sure we'll match it. So the budget overview. When I look at the general fund budget for public works, it actually only goes up 2.1% this coming year in 13. This is just a breakdown by divisions and what percentage and assigned to them. The highlights in this, we actually increased three full-time employees in public works this year. Now, two of them were just simply a transfer of parks and rec folks, and they're the ones who pick up trash and recycling in the parks and the village centers. We pulled them under public works, so we have all of them under our control. Transfer. The third one was a new position, and it's the first time since I've been here I can say that we added a new position in public works. And this was all part of the next we'll hear reorganization of environmental affairs. What I've really tried to do is move all the maintenance functions under environmental affairs for cleanliness, appearance, those type issues. Take them out of highway, let highway focus on the construction activities, and put one umbrella organization looking at the cleanliness in the city. Last year, you may remember, I combined the street sweepers and the property maintenance folks. They kind of flex back and forth based on their schedule. So they're part of this move as well. They're doing an environmental affairs. So we'll put them under Elaine Gentile, who's got a two-pronged effort. Part of that is this staff of 20 people, and the other part is the Beautify Newton program, which I'll talk to in a little bit later. She's heading up. So to manage these 20 people, there's four different groups in environmental affairs. I do need one manager on the ground to do that. So that's the new position that will still come July 1st. The water budget, that only goes up 1.9% this coming year, which is particularly remarkable when we look at the NWRA assessment, which is almost 50%, and that's gone up 9.4%. So even absorbing that pretty good increase in the NWRA assessment.
Can you go back to that pie chart there?
So the total budget is $18.9 million. And the average assessment is just under 10. But when we look at the capital and debt service and some other expenses, we're able to keep it a very manageable 1.9%. And we also look at, every year we look at how we fund the general fund support to a utilities division. This year, one of the things we looked at was really the garage and the charges for all the repairs of equipment and made some adjustments with that. The sewer budget actually overall went down 0.2%. When I look at NWRA assessment, it increased 2.2%. We've done a couple of small capital initiatives. We've added in this year's budget some pump station improvements. And then we also made a good size reduction in engineering services. This was really here for emergencies, and we had to put some contract out. We're looking at really creating more of a reserve and stabilizing those funds so we should be able to manage those in the future. We felt comfortable enough to reduce the engineering services this coming year.
What is engineering services?
We put a contract out for design work or repair something.
Okay. So it's design work?
Potentially, yeah. Under stormwater, this stays the same. We didn't change it. $725,000, same fees. We came to this committee a little while ago. We are going to have folks to change it, and we're working on that. We're trying to get some information together on the size comparable bills compared to water and sewer bill, comparable bills to other communities, looking at comprehensive one, if what groups have a lot of different bills and what's their total, what's the city's total going to be, and then how we do a PR program. So we're working on that. We'll come back to this committee later this year. In addition to big items on stormwater, Webster Street drain, we're going to approve that. We spoke to the committee before on that, and the City Hall ponds. Again, we were just here a couple weeks ago. When you look at your budget for fiscal year 13, you'll see it's a different format, and that this year what we did is use an outcomes-based budgeting theory. This is really kind of a fallout from what we've done the last 2 years with zero-based budgeting and performance management. And the idea is really to start with what the desired outcomes are. What do you want to accomplish? How do you get there? Get the appropriate financial and personnel resources, which is what we're doing today. Develop targets, monitor, and see how we're doing. So that's a little different format you'll see this year. And again, it's really, you know, the starting point for us is what is the community, when they think about public works, what do they understand our expectations and our mission is, what do they think we should be doing. So if we kind of break it down, instead of by division, by really kind of these goals. And again, we looked at zero-based budgeting. We start from the ground up to take each of those goals, what do we need for them, and develop a matrix of benchmarks that we could measure. You've seen us measuring this patch of some of the goals. Some of them may look familiar this coming year, but we made a concerted effort to plan the budgeting process around it, so it marries up pretty well. Anyway, when I look at public works, streets and sidewalks, water, sewer, stormwater, trash and recycling, street lights, traffic signals, traffic calming, and then snow, ice, and other storm responses. So outcome one, what do we want to do? We want to have improved conditions for both the streets and the sidewalks. I've got $2.3 million again from Chapter 90 for roads. So again, it's better than what they've been budgeting in the past. There was some talk about increasing that. That never really came about. But I'll take 2.3, and we'll repave about 5 miles of street. You can look at the handout. I can give you a more legible copy at some point. But these are the streets that we're going to be working on this coming year. And you'll actually see our crews out there. We've got a head start on a number of them. We're doing some prep work already. The other part of the streets and sidewalks is the sidewalk. And I'll confess, this is one area that I've had a problem with. We have a 2.5 to 3 year backlog on them, and that's just not acceptable. When people call in, we make things safe as soon as we get a call, and we have to put some temporary patch, but we don't do permanent patch. It takes us a while to get to it. And there's been a number of reasons. We've had starts and stops trying to close that gap. But I think this year we're going to make a very concerted effort. I've got crews on both sides of the city dedicated to this. We started out this year with 489 different locations. So that was a 2.5 to 3 year backlog. About 150 a year is probably average. So it's about 3 years we started. We're actually down to 330 right now. So we've made very good progress. Having the mild winter enabled us to get started on a lot of sidewalks in March before we got tied up with other road work, and so we weren't doing the snow work. So we've got a good jump. I want to get that down to less than 150, probably around 100 by the end of the year. And I think that'll be a significant improvement safety-wise to the city. Outcome two, fully installed and operational automated water meter system. As I mentioned earlier, the water meters are almost done. Commercials, we have one left to go. That's Newton Country Day School, and we'll do that this summer. Residential, as I said, we've got about 400, and we'll keep working to get those all replaced. The other part of this is to have a successful remote reading system on this. I sent out a memo last month giving the board an update, and this is one area where we have had a problem. Essentially, the modeling for the system we've got isn't matching the performance. They just can't get 100% reads. They've got about 80% consistently. They may get 85%. But the rest, they actually drive by and record it. They could do it from a truck. They'll have to go up to the town, but they still have to drive by each one. That's not the system we pay for. That's not what we're going to be satisfied with. They spent about 6 months trying to figure out a way to make their system work. To my understanding, this system had a lot of use in Europe, but I think what they probably found was the houses are much closer together, and it was designed to actually bounce from house to house. They just can't seem to match it with the topography and the distance that we've got. Without putting up 1,000 different repeaters on all of our utility poles, they couldn't guarantee that we'd have a good system. So we've gone back, asked them to put a different system in, and it's going to be, we have to change all the transmitters on the house, use a lower frequency, a higher power output, so that we can do that. And rather than 1,000 different collectors, we're going to have 7 in one city hall and still be able to collect it. We've actually seen this system working in another community. We talked to the people, love it. We watched it, we were standing there, saw one of the alerts come up when something got a high read on just a random reading. So that's one of the things we felt was very important, to be able to identify high reads right away. We witnessed this while we were just standing there. So we're comfortable with this system they're proposing, but it will require changing out, actually. This is... this is what's on all the houses, what they put in. This is what the new transponder is going to look like. Much larger, although compared to your gas meter or anything like that, it doesn't compare to that. But that's what they're proposing, to replace that so that we can get 100%. This is all going to be on the contractor dime. We're not paying anything. This contract was for 100% collection, and so they're making all these changes.
At this point, we got some questions that you're getting ready to ask. So, Cheryl, I have you first.
Thank you. I was stuttering there for a minute. So they're going to go back to every single house, take those off, put right. those other ones on.
Right. They don't have to go in the house. They can do this just from the outside.
Okay.
Just unclip the wires and reconnect the new ones.
And how long will the installation take? And what are we going to do in the meantime?
The installation will take the rest of this calendar year. They anticipate finishing up in December, and then another 2 months to remove all the old infrastructure. In the meantime, they're still on the hook to give us reads. We're going to have parallel systems. They'll do either the current system or drive-bys as necessary. So
people don't have to call in again.
People
don't
have to call in. This should be transparent to residents.
And
other than somebody's going to be changing the transponder on their house, the meters that are in are reading properly. We're going to get reads remotely, either right back to the all or the drive by the contractor. They're on the hook to do that until they give us the system.
Okay.
That was most of it. But when you say it's transparent to residents, is this something that is warrants a call to people, a robocall or something?
So they don't shoot someone?
No. Yeah.
Well, sure. That's part of what we still have to put together is a PR program to let people know that there will be somebody at all their houses changing those out. So it's
just as
you're feeling a gas hearing that, so it's the public. We recognize that. So we do want to, we have to let them know. But this is also, good news story. We want to get it to work. It's not going to cost us anything extra. And we want to be able to reassure them while we inform them. But we do need to tell them before we just go ahead and start doing this.
Alderman Lutan.
In that this was the contractor problem, can we insist on them putting more manpower on this so that it isn't 6 months to change it, then another 2 months after that, to change the relay system, so that we're not waiting 8 months from now to have an operating system where we're getting 100% of the reads automatically?
I'm not sure we can insist on that. We've certainly made our preferences known. We want to get it done. I would prefer to meet the December date. I'm not sure they're going to do that. I know they're actually hiring a lot of the Vanguard employees who put the first one in, and they're going to be doing a lot of this change out, so they're familiar with the city and getting around. So I'm not sure that we, how much we can insist on how many people they put on the job.
But do we still owe them money?
We still owe them money, yes. We still have good
money. Money with the budget,
that's
that
all
we're saying. Might be able right. to have some leverage that way. Is, I think that's worth thinking about.
Alderman Johnson?
Dave, my impression or perception of this project from start to finish has not been a well smoothly run project. Have you, if not, will you be having, and if not, I would suggest you have, a post-mortem of the project, what went well, what didn't. So as you go to take on large projects within your department, we don't go down some of these circles. This all should have been found out eons ago. Mm-hmm. It's like when we did the pilot for the trash, because we had concerns about, it was great when the the trash, automated trash went down a clear street in Iowa, but mm-hmm. when it's going down a street in Nonanta, so I just think we don't do enough of kind of going back of what did we learn from this so we don't go down this route again. So if you so I don't need to know now, but if you haven't, I would strongly encourage you, and I would ask that you report the results back to the board. And if you have, if you could have the results to us. Okay.
We haven't yet, but certainly this is, when they say you're on the bleeding edge, not the leading edge, this was new technology even when we bid it out.
But it's the way the project,
I understand.
There's a lot of issues, and we all can count them, whether it's with our own personal experience or our constituents. So okay. We don't need to spend time here, but I would ask that you do this and give us the results. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Are the transponders outside or inside?
Outside.
They're all outside?
Well, there may be occasion inside. We find out with the current one. I don't know if there's a half dozen I've heard of that are in the house, but it's a very small number. The vast overwhelming majority are on the outside of the house.
And so in the interim, we are getting 100% of the reads,
yes?
Yes. Okay. All right. And it's all on them to get the 15 or 20% that we're not picking
Absolutely.
Up automatically. Okay. Thank you.
Sure. Well, thank you. Were we the beta test for this? You said it had been in Europe. Had anybody else in the United States
before? There were, I think, two other sites that I remember that we had actually called and done references on them. That's still a very small sample.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
We were also joined, by the way, by Alderman Crosley and Alderman Danberg. I think I got everybody now. Okay. Keep going.
The next one, reduce clean water sewers, increase water capacity. This speaks to the strategic plan that we presented at Newton North High School a while back. I'm actually going to talk this at the end of this with the CIP, so I'll pass on this for right now. Snow removal, these are the same standards in terms of our goal is to have black roads and to have the streets cleared within 8 hours of the end of the storm. All municipal sidewalks will be cleared within 30 hours, and then after 30 hours, then we'll monitor compliance with the new sidewalk ordinance. We didn't get an opportunity to do much of that this year, but we will, I suspect, this coming year. Fourth outcome is, as I mentioned, a beautified Newton program. And it really is kind of a new way of looking at it, and as mentioned, an umbrella organization to look at all of the cleanliness and appearance issues around the city. We're going to put out a survey just to get people's input, what they think about, what they'd like to see improvements. Then we're going to pilot one village center for specific improvements, and we're looking at right now in Newtonville. And the idea is really to partner with the community for public and private improvements. We're not going to fund everything that they want. Kind of the idea is we're going to provide some ideas, we're going to provide some energy, and we're going to provide some seed money. Hopefully we can get some money from the community to help support that, for new trash barrels or plantings, banners. We started kind of the first step of this is painting some of the controller cabinets. We have a program to do that. So the idea is to get some of these things started so people could see them in the neighborhoods and maybe generate some enthusiasm to match this stuff. And I've got Elaine spearheading this. It's kind of hard to track her days as an alderman, so she's really loving it.
Oh, she looks like she's loving it.
Painting the smile on my face.
Yeah. before you go on, you had a question?
Back to the snow removal. Granted, we didn't have any, we had snow, but we used to have snow removal. And I think I heard you say that the goal is black, all roads to be black. And I just really wonder whether that's necessary. I think we have categories of roads, I think the Washington Street and the Comm Ave and things like that. But I'll use mine, Bemis Street, which dead ends at the Charles River. There's not a lot of traffic on Bemis Street. I think it needs to be safe. Mm-hmm. But to have a snowplow go up and down the street, which you know, you've heard me say this 5 or 6 times a night, when you're going to have, the most cars you're going to have are the people that live on the street. So I would really challenge whether all streets need to be blocked. I think all streets need to be safe, passing. But I think there's a difference between Palm Ave and Venus Street. So I would just, I think that we can save some money. And I can appreciate when Mr. Rooney came and sawed down a branch so people could pass and all that. But, I just think we're at a point where I think we have to be realistic of what our expectations are. And if this money can go to something else, and if my neighbors on the street get upset with me, but I don't think they will because they swear until I became an alderman, we used to have a reasonable amount of plowing. So it's just something I don't think it's necessary for all streets to be black. I think all streets have to be black.
Yes. Maybe I just have a comment now, and then we get into the numbers that possibly will become clear. Far be it for me to object to beautifying Newton. But this is a program that I don't understand. I don't understand what the metrics are that we would, this is a good year, but it's not like we have money to burn.
Right.
So, what would the metrics be for determining who gets that money? Which village or what kinds of projects warrant, the city giving seed money? What are you looking for from the community in order to garner our support back, and what kind of resources are we talking about allocating? So I guess I just really want to know a lot more about this. It sounds nice, mm-hmm. but knowing how we're struggling on so many other aspects of our budget, I would really like to understand a lot better what's meant by this, and what does the survey look like? Are we promising something that we can't deliver or can't deliver well? So it's really just a comment at the moment, but maybe when we start looking at the numbers, get a better handle on it.
You're right, it's very early when we're putting the survey together. We're just starting to talk with Newtonville people. What would they like to see, and trying to get a sense of
it?
Are we the pilot? Yes, you're good.
Ooh, okay.
That's the plan right now. We're talking money. We've got $20,000 for supplies, $8,000 in the line for trash carts. We've got a couple small miscellaneous numbers as well. So we're only talking about $30,000. It's still money that, it's still spendable money to use elsewhere, but I think we can get a lot for that in terms of seed money, in terms of we buy flowers, flower pots, large pots put on the sidewalk, or...
Okay, again, I'm not looking for the detail now, but I really would like
All right, and then I have now Alderman Danbury.
Thank you. Actually, Marcy touched on the point that I was going to discuss, but beyond what she asked, we now do the smaller streets with contracted labor. Is that correct?
Not necessarily. We divide the city up into blocks, And so it's either in-house forces do that entire block or contractor does it. So it's not by size of street, it's by you own this area.
Okay, by area. So we charge we pay the contractors by the inch and not by the hour. So again, you don't need to get explain this now, but I think we need to be clear if we're going to make changes. And I'm in favor of not bringing the smaller streets down to bare pavement. Devising a plan so that if we pay them by the inch, we would make sure to make some savings and not just say, well, you now don't have to get it down to that black pavement.
It doesn't work that way, as I understand it. If the storm is a 4 or 5 inch storm, regardless of how much they plow, they're going to get paid 5 inches. What do they plow?
They pay by the inch.
By the inch, but they're not the inch they plow. It's the total inch of the storm.
That's correct.
Right. So it doesn't make any difference whether the streets are black or blue, you know.
I just think it's something that needs to be.
Well, I'm just they're going to get paid regardless if they go right down to the bare pavement or not. So if you want to leave an inch or two on the street,
well, that's
they're
it.
Still getting
they're
paid.
Still get to pay the same amount. That's
there
the
you
point.
Go. But it's by the inch of the storm. And a lot of them are squawking about that now. They're not getting an accurate account. But anyway, I hear it all the time.
I'm sure you do.
Depends so, where you measure.
Okay. Excuse me, I got one more.
I just want to build on something Alderman Crosley said about the beautification program. I too, was having difficulty understanding it and hearing it. $30,000, I think it's great, but relatively small number. I just want to know, in addition to what she asked, what the ongoing maintenance cost would be of anything we do. In other words, if you put flowers in for year one and you buy these planters, who's going to put the flowers in if they're year two, year three, year four? If you have trash barrels, what has to be done there? I'd like to see that factored in so that we don't. The worst thing is to do is put something in for 1 year and not keep any repairs that cause a disrepair. So I realize we will pick that up at a later date.
But wait, Brian, we've had those discussions. We have to look at the long-term cost for those, and that's why we want to push that as much onto the village center and business communities and residents as we can. But you're right. We have to be aware of those costs.
But I guess if you're pushing it onto the business community, it seems to me you have to have a very clear plan and how are you going to get people to do it? Is it going to be voluntary donations? You can't do mandatory assessments.
Right.
So what's the strategy for that? I mean, I think business owners do have an interest in the village centers, and I think it's a great idea, but they may not be so keen on paying for a lot of it.
I think Elaine gave us a presentation on this a couple of months back.
For the beautification?
I think we were in the other room when you said you were. Anyway, I do remember you talking a bit about
the mayor talked it in the budget meeting.
Yeah, we'd be happy to come back to the committee and give you some more details on this whole program. We're still trying to develop it ourselves, so we'll come back. The next thing is the sustained recycling rate of 36%. To me, this is one of the hidden things that I think is very important because in my sense is much of the trash costs are related to the economy. And once the economy starts picking up, people are going to start throwing more things out and we have a relatively limited budget. So I think it's important that we keep in front of the public the importance of recycling, and we continue to look for innovative ways to push recycling. So I think, looking forward, this is going to be more important as ultimately, hopefully, the economy turns and we start seeing more trash out there. So this year, we're working with Waste Management to come up with a new program for rigid plastic, which are like the little tight slides and climbers and that type of stuff, to get those out of the waste stream, and then bulky metal. Rather than just picking that up curbside, getting a program where you can recycle that. So we're working with Waste Management to come up with ways to do this in the year.
Oh, you got a couple of questions on this. Go ahead.
A ton of questions. I want to, now that I criticize water, I just want to say the trash and how this whole project from top to bottom was well run. and you, Elaine, whomever, but I just wanted, and you think where we are, I don't care.
Not sure.
And it just happens like clockwork. So, kudos. So maybe learn lesson learned for that flight for the water.
Wish I get in there.
Huh?
You said I wish I get in there.
I have a question. When you say sustained recycling 36% of collections, is that 36% of the green barrels, is there just a portion of the green barrels that are being recycled, and that's why it's 36%, or is it 36% of the whole?
36% of the whole. All of the curbside, the solid waste and the recycling, the recycling components, curbside is 36%.
Well, actually, to follow on with that, when you say 36% of the whole, are you including yard waste?
No, that's when we get to 53, is if you include...
Oh, that's how we had 53. I was going to say I thought 36 is a dreadful number. No. I thought we were increasing that. But so it's recycling plus yard waste that gets us to 53?
Correct.
It's actually, the 36% is curbside recycling only. Mm-hmm. Goes into your green
packs. As a percentage of the total. 36%
sounds like a miserable number, but 36% for a community such as Newton that doesn't have a pay-as-you-throw system is right on target. When you get into pay-as-you-throw communities, then that number will rise into the 40s, 50s, 60s. Mm-hmm. So for a community without the pay-as-you-throw, 36% is on target. The 53% comes from not only all of our yard waste, but also the compost we make. It also comes from all of our metals, hazardous waste collections, our fluorescent bulb collections, textiles, everything that we collect, not only curbside, but as well as the depot.
Okay. Thank you.
The next outcome we want. Safe pedestrian and bicyclist conditions. We've made a commitment to spend at least 5% of our Chapter 90 money on bicycle and pedestrian improvements. It's actually only a fraction of what we're doing when we look at the whole gamut of the improvements we're looking at. But for this coming year specifically, we want to install 5 miles of new bicycle lane, striped shoulders. This is what we're targeting this coming year is Center Street. And Walnut Street, Center Street. If you've seen us earlier this year, we took that asphalt edge outside the concrete sidewalks and ground them out and repaved them because they were in horrible condition. Up and down, they were uneven, and you couldn't really ride a bike. So to paint a bicycle lane and force people to drive in that wasn't going to work. So we used Cole Planer, a very innovative project that Brian led, and was a huge improvement in the condition. And we actually are going to be able to make those, I think, safe, usable bicycle lanes along the Center Street. And anywhere along concrete pavement, we'll be able to do that. And then on Walnut Street, the issue is really the parking issue. This is from Homer Street to Lincoln Street. We've eliminated the parking for right now. Traffic Council is going to look at that and see if we want to make that permanent, and then we'll put in bicycle lanes there. Strategy two is two intersection diets to narrow things to make it easier for pedestrians. We will come to public facilities before we do that. weigh in on that. The two areas we're looking at is Waverly and Franklin. We actually had a number of accidents there in the past, and in 1 year we had about 3 of them just in a 2-month period. And part of that was the visibility was very poor at that intersection. So what we put a trial out there, and it's in place for, I don't know, a year plus, where we really push the curves out just so that people have to come out further and visibility, rather than get stuck by a tree, they're going to slow that and go beyond that, and they can actually see better before pulling out. In the past, they kind of round the corner and without looking very well, and I think that contributed to some of the accidents. So we've put a trial in for a while. I haven't heard any comments on it, so that we want to make that one permanent. And the other one is
I've seen that one, and I've seen there's another one right near Bigelow too. I think is similar.
Park and Vernon.
Yeah, I mean, my observation is they're very low. They're very difficult to see at night. They're the one at Park and Vernon, I think you're redoing now because it got damaged probably by all the people driving over it. I mean,
it wasn't done that way, but anyway.
What?
It wasn't because of that. It was snow plowing.
All right. Well,
but we have to change it now.
Put my point exactly. Snow plowing.
I guess I'm all in favor of making them safe.
We'll make them permanent.
I'll have share the observation.
Make them permanent.
Make it permanent.
Probably what it is.
Do something different. I find it very difficult just as an observer. Mm-hmm. So, but I understand the concern. I'm just going to pass that. And I don't want to get bogged down.
Sure. No, we're open to new ideas. I will say we set out sandbagging those, and that really didn't work at all. We've kind of graduated to, we put the asphalt burn, we painted it, we filled it behind it. We probably have to put some markers maybe to help that as well. So we'll take that aboard.
It's really difficult to see it.
Just a question on the strategy for new bike lanes. I am guessing that each additional 5 miles of new bike lanes are increasingly divisive. That the ones you've done so far, while somewhat divisive, are less so than the ones in the future. I'm wondering if the plan is to keep doing 5 miles per year after year going forward, or if you don't have a strategy quite yet and know the number of miles per year.
We have not targeted a specific mileage. The Transportation Advisory Group is looking at that, putting together a bike master plan, and they're going to present with a priority list of bike lanes they'd like to see, or shared bike lanes, kind of a list of options and priorities. So we'll take that and see what makes sense, what we can do each year, what other streets we're working on, where it makes sense. There will be issues with parking that will be taken up by Traffic Council. But it's not a specific mileage figure each year.
As that group develops that strategy and prioritization, I'd love to have you share it with the board so that we can see the grand plan in addition to having each individual project come through Traffic Council. I think it's helpful for us to understand the broader vision.
Susan?
Can I change the subject a little bit to be a little bit broader? All of these are great outcomes, and they tend to be, except with the exception of snow clearance, they tend to be fair weather outcomes. I'm wondering what outcomes or what happens in the winter when we're not able to construct this or change that, or what outcomes are there for the winter months?
It's probably a little hard to define because a lot of that is preparatory work for the summer work in terms of going out and inspecting the roads and looking at the grades and designing the plans for them. We still do, highway does a number of potholes are constantly throughout the wintertime. But we actually do measure those. So you look at the metrics on the city website. It's tough to have a goal for that, but we do actually do monitor how many potholes requests we get, how many we fill.
Do you do a lot of design work in the winter in preparation for what's happening in the winter?
Right, and the construction inspectors are usually out on all the streets we're going to be working on and looking at what mantles we have to replace, where there's grade problems that maybe you don't see unless you're actually looking at it. So
it might be worthwhile including words like that in your outcomes. If one step is planning and designing, it might be worth saying that that's a step that you're accomplishing as part of these outcomes.
Right.
Not the ones that's snow removal, but all the other ones. Mm-hmm. If they have a component that happens before you actually do the work, might as well get credit for it.
Sure. But we should. We actually, in Public Works, we have a monthly city staff meeting where we talk about a lot of the metrics that aren't on the city's website or aren't on this, but that we track, including schedules for design schedule and construction schedule. So we'll look to see if we maybe put a way to get that into the metrics and the budget.
I had asked David Kosas after he had presented some things at the liaison committee and was mentioned about this plan around bikes, that it please come to public safety and transportation so we could see that bigger picture, because what we don't want, exactly what you said, Alderman Fuller, street by street that we then hear after the fact. So I believe David is working with Alderman Ciccone to get that scheduled.
Good.
Well, I guess just to that end, I appreciate all those comments about the understanding the whole picture. Are you expecting a short-term and long-term bunch of objectives to be coming your way regarding the bike lanes and other planning efforts that are going on in the city? And then I'm assuming I'd like to assume that there's coordination with the planning department and others. You know, for example, you know, there's a lot of folks talking in earnest now about the DOT plans for Needham Street and how well or not they're accommodating bike lanes, and what alternatives we have where their designs are simply not accommodating bike lanes or pedestrian ways, for example. And so this isn't to dump that all of that on you. I think I'm hoping the administration is sort of looking in over that as you're trying to develop your plans. How well are they coordinated with all those other plans that are ongoing?
I have to say I'm not on an island for this. And I'll just tell you, we had a meeting today in the mayor's office with myself, Candace Hayden, planning, the bicycle and pedestrian coordinators, both the citizen volunteers and the staff assigned to those. So we talked about a lot of this stuff. And, you know, part of the discussion was also, what are the other groups that are discussing these things? We're going to try to tie it to the Beautified Newton group and look at that. We're going to try to tie it to the transportation team that meets on Monday. So certain aspects will relate to the different things, and we are looking at it. Right? I work with Candace on a lot of these projects for all the bike lanes and the pedestrian stuff. So we're tied in with planning on it. I don't mean to take full credit if you thought I was.
Well, good. I can't wait for this strategic planning meeting.
Okay. The last one here was improvements via Mass Works grant. This is the Chestnut Hill development, and there's essentially four things that are going to be improved. There will be lights installed, traffic lights at the Route 9 and Parker Street, at those ramps coming off of the Route 9 onto Parker. We're actually going to upgrade the existing lights at Route 9 and Elliott Woodward. They're going to put sidewalks on Florence Street. And then there was a proposal to do something with the lights at Beacon and Center Street. And we're actually looking at, rather than lights, they wanted to put the new set of lights at Center and Cypress. Just not going to be able to tie them to another set of lights that close at Center Street. But what we are going to be proposing is a redesign of that intersection that essentially makes Center Street the main street and Cypress the turnoff, rather than as it exists now, Cypress becomes the main street and Center's the turnoff. So we will be coming to public facilities with a plan for that. That's close to design ready, not there yet, but you'll see that this summer as part of this Mass Grants. And again, it's all Chestnut Hill Development paying for all this stuff, and I think it could be significant improvements.
Yes.
The question, are those all smart lights? Or do you not know the details yet? Like, when people roll over, do they change the signal?
Anybody want to speak up?
And it's also going to be before Traffic Council this coming Thursday. There'll be more information about those projects as well if you want to attend.
And then the last thing under the outcomes and the strategies was safe pedestrian and bicycle. Again, safe pedestrian and bicycle conditions, but we're looking at four hot pedestrian crossing signals. One at Crass and Linwood, one at Park and Theodore, one at Beacon by Lawrence, and one at Bowen School. The first two we'll be putting in. The second one, actually BC is requesting it, and the third one is Safe Route to School. Now, when we talk about what a hot signal is, it's got two red lights up here with a yellow here. This is kind of a sequence that you'll see when you push a button. It starts flashing yellow, you're steady yellow, then a steady red, you know, if you cross. Then it'll flash red, say, hurry up and get across, and it'll be off. It'll be dark afterwards. They're used elsewhere in the country, but they're brand new to Massachusetts. We're actually the first community putting these in. We put one of these in on Elliott Street at the temporary fire station.
to help access there. We met with the state transportation engineer about this. He's still trying to figure out how the state wants to comply with this. This is a new idea with the manual for uniform traffic control devices. So we volunteered to be pilots and try these things at a number of different spots and see how it works so they can expand it to other communities. So we are going to be one of the leaders on it. I think certainly with having the mast over the street, it's much clearer. The flashing red lights sort of get the attention better. So I think these will be a great safety improvement. And say putting four in this year, it's a pretty aggressive attempt.
Question, Marcia?
What's the status for Washington and Harvard? People are asking, we got the mast heads up and...
What Traffic Council approved at that location is a flashing warning light only, like Crest and Linwood. So we'll have to have Traffic Council change their decision on that before we can seek funding for it. So, because there's a difference legally in terms of what's a warning device, which is just flashing yellow, versus what something that turns red.
You haven't installed the flashing light at Washington.
Yes.
When is that coming before the traffic council?
I don't believe anyone's docketed anything yet. You could use a sponsor.
Just a comment. I went last week to the presentation of the Hawk Light by the DOT engineers at Bowen School. And I would say from what I saw and heard that if it performs the way they claim it's supposed to perform, it'll be a huge improvement in a lot of these places.
Deb?
Thank you. So several of these intersections are in the mix when you start talking about the I-Cubed program being funded because of the Chestnut Hill Square project.
Right.
Is that what is funding Route 9 and Parker Street,
yes.
Route 9 and Elliott, and the 1,400 feet of sidewalk was a condition of the special permit?
Right. Correct.
So all that money is coming from Chestnut Hill Square one way or another? Okay, just wanted to confirm that.
So we talked a lot about the Hawk Light back when we were talking about the light at the high school. Is that a candidate for a Hawk Light or no?
It is.
I mean, it seems like that might be a good solution. Or I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's a candidate possibly if you wanted to move it to Tiger Drive and leave the right in, right out as it is. It might be a compromise.
But you can't leave
it. We know that the high school kids, by and large, I think David Coase's study that he presented a couple weeks back saw that 2 out of 3 of every crossing was happening at Trowbridge, not at where the crosswalk the light is. So yes, it's a very viable option, I think. Just the one, I think, thing I would add is this is very new to drivers. People are used to, we try to be consistent with everything, so you've seen it wherever you've been in the country. So we do need to spend a lot of time on this one, getting the word out through the website, through the newspaper, so that drivers understand how this works and what they're supposed to do. Because obviously we're trying to make safe crossings here, and if drivers don't understand what the lights are trying to tell them, we don't have a safe crossing.
And one other thing that I wanted to ask about is that so many communities outside of ours are trying to use roundabouts as a way of traffic calming.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe the construction in the initial phase to put it in costs money, but after that there's no maintenance. You know, there's no electric, no light. So are we going to be a pilot somewhere for one of those? I'd love to see one in Newton to see how if it works.
So would I. The design requirements for roundabouts are tricky and really... narrow down where it's available. We're trying very hard, even looking at the Needham Street to see if we can get one in there, but it's tough when you're trying to match all of the requirements and the space needs for that. I haven't given up. I can't tell you right now where we're going to put one. I thought, but.
Okay. Pop and run.
All right, I think
also,
there are some places.
So, David, the way you're positioning the Hawk Lights is as we're kind of hiding here. Just wondering, and I just really haven't heard of it as us being a pilot. Should we be moving slower and making sure that one works before we invest in four. Because it is really a pilot and we don't have results, I just feel like, why, you know, it's just, would it be prudent to wait?
I would feel less confident if we didn't have good luck on Elliott Street. Because we right outside Public Works as well, so we saw it every day and saw the traffic, how it worked there, and really didn't have any problem with it. So I think we had a good opportunity to look at it, see it. You know, listen for cars jamming on their brakes or something when they see it. But I will say there probably wasn't a lot of pedestrian traffic there, so it's not going to see as much activity as you'll see others watch. But that certainly is. We're not starting off with four right off the bat. We have some experience.
I have a bigger picture question. Are you done with the... I don't want to do this unless you're done with the outcomes and strategies.
I'm done. I just want to go to CIP stuff.
Let me just ask a couple of bigger picture questions. You talked at first about zero-based budgeting, and now the outcomes and strategies. And I'd like to hear, if I could, exactly what you did as you were coming up with, you know, both on the zero-based budgeting model and outcomes and strategies. How did you develop these? I mean, what's the thought process and maybe what you rejected along the way so we have some sense of, you know, what the thinking was internally, how that interacted with the executive. I'm trying to just get some big picture here. Mm-hmm.
Good question.
I can maybe take the survey stuff, but in terms of what those requirements are, it's really a requirement of looking at your budget from the ground up. So pretty much every line item that we're looking at, whether it be the utilities line item or a vehicle, we're really going through that and really ensuring whether or not we need this. We then go through the extra. Once we have our process, we meet with the executive office, and Maureen does a great job of beating us up and making sure that we're spending everything wisely and justifying those expenses. So it really is a ground up effort. We see this and the benefits from that in terms of where we're able to trim expenses and focus our resources really comes out of that process.
So can you give me an example of something you did differently because you built it from the bottom up?
Just an example. Two of the lines we really focused on bituminous concrete and ready mix concrete for streets and sidewalk repairs. We wanted to put additional effort into that stuff. Okay. So what we did is look at how much we spent, budgeted on the high side, went back to the executive office, they cut it, we went back to them. So this is one of our priorities, one of our outcomes. We need to get that money restored in those line items. So by identifying this is one of the key things we want to work at, and these are one of the supplies we really need for that, we were able to fight back some of Maureen's cuts on some of those lines. So it's again kind of strategically looking at what are the important line items for these projects to make sure we had money for those.
And I just add to that, you want an example. One of the things that Dave mentioned earlier was the cutting back on the engineering services line item. So that was something that we looked at and said, okay, well, it's an emergency line item. How much are we really using, and could we, under circumstances, maybe put a lot of reserves to find other resources in the budget to do that? So that was an example where we were able to reduce that line item by 100,000 by just really sort of focusing and saying, you know, is this something we're really using?
I got more questions. I want to leave that aside for a moment. The outcomes. How did you develop those? I mean, what was your thinking? What did you reject? Did this come from the executive? Did it come internally? You know, what was the process?
No, it didn't really come from the executive. You know, they challenged us to define what's important to us and what do we think when the public thinks about public works. What do we think that they're going to talk about, and so that was, you know, the first step is ask us what do we think the public wants to focus on. So that's where those general outcomes started from. It's how we think we're viewed out there, and then it's okay in those specific areas. What do we want to get done this year?
I would also add to that, too, from the agenda was set by the executive office. So we come back and say, well, here are the things that we've had for objectives in the past. And one of the feedback we kept getting back from the executive office is, what does this matter to the resident? How are the residents going to look at this budget and find it useful? How is it that we, as the executive office, are going to be able to hold you accountable through the course of the next fiscal year? So there were, you know, there were a number of things that were probably rejected, but rejected more in the sense that they were more internal objectives for us as a department, but not necessarily objectives in terms of how we provide services to the residents. That's what the focus is here. So what you see in terms of our, I think, what, seven outcomes really are, what are we doing to provide services to residents? And since then, when they look at us and our performance throughout the year, they're going to know how we're doing. So that's really where our focus is.
I don't want to belabor that.
Yeah, I think we've had enough of this one discussion for this period of time. Thank you. If you have any other future questions, go down and sit in the Sittin's office. Maureen.
Thank you. I only wanted to make a couple of quick points for Alderman Moreno. Further, that you have a sense of what the conversations were. So one of them was about salt versus sand, or some combination of the two. The city uses 100% salt. Mm-hmm. Salt costs anywhere between $45 and $47 a ton. Sand is about $6 a ton. Many communities have some percentage mixture, you know, 30% salt or 30% sand, 70% the other, whatever it is. But when we looked at it, then we looked at the cost benefit of the salt versus sand. In the spring, if we put a lot of sand down, we have to go around and sweep that. Not only do we have to sweep it, we have to dispose of it. Tipping fees are $72 a ton. We certainly didn't save anything by going with sand versus salt. So these are the kinds of conversations that we had. So we had 5 vacancies in DPW. This was actually last year, but it's relevant because this is how we began the whole thought process. And last year, when we started talking to DPW, they came to us willingly and said, look, we won't fill these positions. That will help you financially. And we said to them, well, but that's a crew out on the streets. It's not our intent to do less work out on the streets. We need to find our efficiencies elsewhere. So when Ryan says they've offered up all kinds of things to us over the last 2 years, we haven't necessarily accepted things. And then just one last point, because I know you're trying to move the meeting along.
Go ahead.
But I just lost my train of thought.
They brought other things to you, and you.
Oh, I know. When it comes to the core functions, when we were defining the performance management and the core functions, initially, DPW and I'll use you as I did as an example. We had many, many department head meetings. This is a process. It was last year when we started with trail-based budgeting. It was this year when we moved to really an outcomes style, outcomes-based management. DPW, when they put together their core functions, they had fleet maintenance as a core function. They had administration and engineering as a core function. The conversations were, are those really the core functions of public works? And that's what we really tried to challenge our department heads to think about things differently. Fleet maintenance is not a core function of what they're doing. They're doing streets and sidewalks, they're doing snow removal, they're doing the water and sewer. If we contracted out 100% of our snow removal, we wouldn't need a fleet maintenance group, but we would still, as a city, need to remove the snow and ice. And so that's why that became a core function. The engineering department, they're designing the streets. They're not the outcome. The outcome is safe, travelable, even though it's not a word, streets. And so that's what we tried to do with everybody across the city, was really focus on what's your real purpose, what's your real mission, what are you here to do for the citizens of Newport? And the buildings department, I'll just mention this one too, because they were they had procurement on their list of core functions. And as if the procurement is not your core function. It's the core function of the purchasing department. Is it a necessary evil of everything that you do? Absolutely. But your purpose is to provide, you know, sustainability in the buildings, have solid building envelopes, you know, have heating systems that work, all of those things. So this was, for this year, the whole challenge and the whole goal was, what is it that you are really here to do for the people of Newton? So that kind of helps.
That helps a great deal. And I don't want to belabor because I know the children's room. That helps a great deal.
Good. Okay. Two questions, and I don't know if this is Orion or Maureen. Somebody just, or maybe two. under Public Works, page 13, solid waste management, there's $800,000 fine or increase. Walk us through what's going on here. There are actually, without having it in front of me, I can tell you pretty much shooting right there in the tower. The biggest thing is the people that have been moved into environmental affairs. And so as we talked about, these street sweepers were not part of this functional element before. And a couple of other people, the people that came from Parks and Rec,
property maintenance.
Yeah, so
salary.
We'll see the company would decrease some in Parks and Rec and somewhere else.
Highway
and Parks and Rec. Yeah. Thank you. And then, so the real increase in trash, if you will, was a couple of hundred thousand. I know I looked at this very carefully. One of the newspapers was asking the same question. It's mostly the people that were transferred here to this department. And the other piece of that as well is the fact that with our single stream recycling, we are no longer being paid. And when we started out from the paying part, and after a while we were getting paid for it, and now we're not getting paid for it, that's based on the number 6 news market. So we're paying about $12.50 a ton per month. So much to Maureen's horror, all of a sudden we're seeing a $150,000 increase over something that wasn't there last year. So that's also part of it.
And just one more, if I may. If I could just follow up with Clint. With that fine punch, it took me in public safety about 3 times hearing that before I got it. And I thought I was paying attention. It strikes me you're going to have to do education literally at the site of the planning boards or something. Did you do that at Elliott Street? Because Elliott Street is a little bit of a quieter location than some of these other ones. You don't have to tell me the plan, but it's really
You want, wait a minute now, you want to answer on this?
Yeah. Absolutely. And I think it needs to be a multi-pronged approach, either on the site or the and I think it's okay because the video might be helpful to show what's happening rather than trying to show it in the diagram.
Thank you.
Welcome, Danbury. You got something?
A question for Maureen. Maureen, on the beautification. In Newtonville. I can certainly understand how you picked Newtonville. I think it was a good choice for a number of reasons. Number one, what's the funding source? And number two, is this a one-time windfall this year for one village, or is there a plan to take other villages and do the same thing?
It is not a one-time thing. There's certainly going to be a plan. There are several components. That's why we've been calling it Unify Newton, because there really are key pieces that fed into this. The first was the movement of, I think it was 54 sites, or it's about that many, of maintenance that now Parks is going to maintain. They have a lot of, for anyone who was at the Parks presentation last week, they have the contracts for, you know, either mowing the fields or whatever. And so they were really better able to absorb re-whacking of different lots or islands or different things. That's a piece of this. What the mayor has also done is put together a group, and it's Elaine. I think Amanda Stelt is part of it as the economic development coordinator, and who else is on the group? There's a little beautified Nikki and who? Amanda Stelt. Yes. Yeah. She's going to be the director of community engagement. The commissioner sits on it. Bob Mink sits on it. The mayor sits on it. And so the intent is for all the different little like spots in Newton that you drive by and that are city owned that ought to look crisp and don't. That's what this is. And so the funding source is within the public works budget. We certainly beefed up the budget for this. But this is intended, I mean, it's really in its infancy. You know, and this is a budget. So what we need to do at this point is make sure that we've given the different groups the financial or personnel resources to achieve what it is that we want to see happen next year. So it's in it. I think the group has only met once or twice. But they're really going to put together a plan. But this is not something that you're only going to see once a year. And so the intent is really to make the city look crisp for people to drive through and see a difference in news. Adding the three-person crew in Parks and Rec is, again, part of all of this. To really maintain the trees. We're supposed to be the garden city, but yet we're not maintaining the trees. And so it's all of those different components put together that's what Beautifying Newton really is, with Elaine being really in charge of the day-to-day on the ground, checking the streets, street sweepers. The other day, was it Newtonville? Is it Newtonville that when the mayor was working on Newton Serves, that there were just like cigarette butts and trash around, and it's all about, what this is all about, is really taking pride in the villages, in the city, and having a city resource that does some, but also expecting, you know, the business owners to take pride in the property outside their doors too. So it's really going to be a partnership. That's why Amanda's part of that, because she's economic development. So this is really meant to become a real partnership. It's in its infancy, but we wanted to make sure that we allocated some resources for it so that it will grow. But so there's a whole group that's going to be leading the effort.
Okay, so $30,000, is that citywide, or is that allocated to Newtonville only? And if that's not citywide, how much more is going to go citywide?
It's quote-unquote citywide, okay. While they're deciding what we're doing with the money for this year. But it's a program that's meant to be citywide eventually, but obviously $30,000 isn't all citywide. And so we're going to have to strategically figure out how best to spend the money. But as Jay said, there's $8,000 in there for trash receptacles. You know, if you don't put trash cans out, especially over in Newtonville, I mean, if the kids are walking home from school and they're eating something or they're smoking a cigarette or they're doing whatever they're doing, if there isn't something that is conveniently on their way, what do we think they're doing with that cigarette box for?
And $8,000 would be built into that is the cost of picking those up on a regular basis.
In Newtonville. It's just in Newtonville.
Because Elaine has now the two-person crew that used to be in Parks and Rec that went and did the trash in the parks. She's
going
to have the ability to
smile again.
I think, as I understand it, there's a report coming from this eventually.
Some kind of plan.
So why don't we just wait until that point in time and have a few.
My first question.
Further discussion.
If Amanda is involved, does that mean that, that the funding source would be the meal tax?
No.
What's the funding source?
That's what I'm saying. It's been appropriated in the budget.
Okay.
All right, you all done with your presentation? Wait. Excuse me. Go ahead. You have a question?
Yeah, quick question.
She has a question.
Dave or Maureen, following up kind of on Alderman Moreno's point about efficiencies, I was wondering on the paving, and sidewalk repair. The question is, do you budget to the penny? And are there efficiencies if we don't to have a fund where if you're doing, for example, a circle and you budgeted two roads in that circle and there's three roads and you find that third road actually needs it at Wendell and Boulder, for example, do you have money to actually pave that as well while the crews are there? And is it your practice to have some money kind of held for that, or is it just, you know what, this, we budget the penny and that's it?
Well, I can tell you from a from the interim procurement officer's perspective, which is what I still am tonight, it's all based, one of them is based on how you write the bid specs, how much you let the contract count for, how far the streets go when you're paving down a street. We usually go down a little bit on the side streets. How well we measure, because we have times when those contracts are right up to the naps and you can't continue if you wanted to. We have other times when they're not necessarily, and we've had them pave further if they needed to. It's all in how you do the plan.
We used to write them pretty specifically, so it was, we list the streets and that was all we can do. We do list them as kind of the general ones, but then we can do other streets as well. So we leave ourselves the option, but it really comes into where the budget comes in, the bid comes in, how much we can add to it. So,
but you're giving yourself some a little bit of wiggle room, which I think is good.
Well, we try to be conservative, but you know, I'll tell you, our coal planning bid came in right in at target. The paving bid came in over our estimate, so there's not a lot of wiggle room there. We still have another relatively large bid to put out for Old Farm Road because it's a full-depth reclamation. It's a whole different process because of all the work he did. So if that bid comes in low, we may have some other money available to use for paving stuff. So at this point, I'm not closing the books on, say, Placid Road, but we don't have a big buffer put in there.
Sure.
First of all, I bumped into somebody on Old Farm Road the other night, and I used to hear from these people every time it rained. And they have said that it is a huge improvement. I mean, it's never going to be perfect, but all the work you've done really has made an impact. And I would know because I would hear about it. Thank you. Quick question. There seems to be, and maybe it's because we're not using as much sand, but street cleaning, street maintenance and street cleaning are both, one's down 275,000, one's down 335.
That's the transfer, which you see, the personal transfer from highway to
so
environment.
Okay, yeah. So that's what that is. Okay. And the other thing, I just wanted to understand, so transportation, okay, because this
Part of it is an $800,000 increase you'll see in the environmental affairs budget, but that's offset. You'll see the reductions in a couple of highway lines and
so under,
parks and rec lines.
So under transportation, where it's $177,000 more on page 15, is that what is that due to? And what is transportation?
15.
There's no change.
So what's the 177?
15, I'm sorry.
Is that the total of
fuel and vehicle maintenance?
I don't know if it's parking meter or transportation. I'm on 15.
Public Works Department.
So that's the whole. That's
right. Transportation itself is the line above it. The difference is 41.
Okay, so that's the entire.
Sorry.
Okay.
No, I cited that for a second.
I get that. Yeah, really. All right, so that's just the total budget. That's not. Okay. Thank you. And I just wanted to make one quick comment, very quick, about the Hawk signals. Theodore and Parker, because we cut busing last year, school busing, there were so many kids walking across that street, we counted like 100 kids. And it's very dangerous. You know Parker Street. And so we were looking into alternatives, and
when they suggested that yellow flashing light, I said, that's just, it's a false sense of security, and they'll get killed. So I thought this was a great option because people think yellow means go, red means stop, and this is a solid red. So I think it'll be good. That's all.
Okay, it's going to take me one more time. I heard you say it in a couple of different ways, but if I'm looking at just the departmental summary, pages 1, 2, 3, there's, when you say the Department of Environmental Affairs, is that solid waste management?
Yes.
Okay, so the $1.2 million that department has increased comprises street cleaning at the top of the page, which is reduced by 423, and street maintenance on page 1, which is reduced by 321, and vehicle maintenance.
Not
vehicle maintenance. That's just reduced. We don't need to maintain vehicles as much anymore. Okay. And
it's two people from Parks and Recreation budget, which are not going to be
in environmental affairs. Okay.
One new position is included in that environmental affairs.
Okay, so
and then a couple of $100,000 for the contractors.
Right.
Okay, so it really is about rethinking how you title the different functions in a way. We're not losing function.
Oh, definitely.
Because I'm still seeing under Beautifying Newton that we're maintaining our 4 times per year street cleaning, which I would suggest is we shouldn't go lower than that. But right. Okay. All right. That was just a really hard, because as I read the narratives are great, but I was kind of hoping as you go through, I would really have a good sense of how this added up, equalized over the budget. I guess I hear it. Thank you.
Okay, Ruth Ann.
Okay, just one more question. I'm doing this from memory. I would really need last year or like the year before's budget. Big picture question, outcomes related, streets related. My memory, and I could easily be wrong, is that 43% of our streets are in poor condition, and that we were doing a year ago when we were looking at this, the street paving that we were have just completed or cleaned this summer wasn't going to change the 43%. We were just barely keeping up. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, big picture, again, maybe it's after tonight. Tell us what percent of our streets are in poor, fair, and good, and excellent condition. What our strategy is, what our investments are, what outcomes we're trying to achieve, and what the budget this year does towards getting us there. I fear that the investments we're seeing barely keep us in a bad condition, but I'm asserting that without knowing the facts.
I wouldn't say you're far off of that. We do need to invest more in the street. I'd like to see more money invested in it. Here we come back and show you the percentage of what's poor condition. And certainly we need to do more than 5 miles of road per year to change that percentage. But it's also part of which ones we target is how we do it.
So I push you to, as you keep revising and thinking about outcomes-based budgeting, I don't think we've got this one quite right because it isn't transparent to somebody. So what are we trying to do with street paving? Mm-hmm. When you think about the big picture, and I'm not sure.
Yeah, sure.
So just partially in response to that, I think Mark and several of us have docketed an item asking the administration to provide a comprehensive plan of all the capital programs within the city, across the departments, strategic plan for, so you've got roads and sidewalks and somebody else has parks and so forth. And so what's the big picture so that we know, you know, where the streets fit in with the parks and where the buildings fit and all of that? So I don't know how long it would take to get to that point, but I think that's the kind of thing that you're looking for.
Yes, Marcy.
In addition, taking Alderman Fuller's comment another level, I would say that for your outcome number one, you know, a metric would be the reduction. So if you have 10%, so 15% of the streets are in poor, fair to poor, or poor to very poor condition, how is this helping us get between some of these outcomes and are not what I would consider necessary outcomes? They are more goals and so forth. So I think your outcome really, how are we reducing street buildings, you know, decreasing street buildings, however you want to look at positive and negative view. I think that would be more informative than having a full explain.
Anybody else? No? No, did you say you were going to go into the CIP?
Last couple slides, you just briefly talked about CIP items.
Well, let's hold off on that for 1 minute. Does anybody have any other questions regarding the presentation up to this point? Marcy?
Not necessarily the presentation. Where in your budget does it show the vehicles and how many vehicles now does DPW have that people take home and where is that outlined? So I know there's been an effort by the mayor's department to reduce the number of vehicles to take people take home. So kind of how many vehicles? And I'm not sure where that is in the information.
It's not in there.
Where is that? So you don't have about maintenance of the cars, or is that just
the maintenance? Is
okay, where is that?
Vehicle maintenance?
It's all vehicles, no matter what.
Right.
It's all that comes down. Could we have a list of the vehicles that are taken home this time that you can get you at some point? Mm-hmm.
Sure.
I will move a straw vote of the budget if you
would
like.
That's what I wanted to do next. Everybody all set with questions? Okay, we're going to take a straw vote on the budget. All in favor? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Commissioner, now you may continue on your CIP. And by the way, thank you for a nice presentation.
You're welcome. Thank you. Just briefly, in the general fund, these items are in the general fund. Coal plant and paved 20 streets. That's, as I mentioned, we have $2.3 million in Chapter 90 fund, so this is 2.15 of it. We have $150,000 for the two hawk signals, one at Crafts and Linwood, Parker and Theodore. So that's the $2.3 million for Chapter 90 fund. It says general fund, but it's really highway as opposed to utility, so it's not that it's coming necessarily from general fund. The other item that's in our CIP is for one piece of equipment replacement, one street sweeper to replace one that's been taken off the road, and so that we can maintain a minimum fleet of six sweepers. So that's in for fiscal year 13. Underwater, first one we'll take credit for is it's utilities building. It's actually, we have some significant leaks in that utilities building. We have water that pours through the lights, through electrical panels, that's got water damage on our supports down in our stock rooms in the basement, that we've got a significant water pop coming through the leak. So we've identified some repairs to the roof and kind of encapsulate the outside of the roof to try to prevent the water damage. So you see, we've got a number of clean the line projects coming up this year: Oak Street, Homer Street, Temple, Lowell, Crafts of Washington, and on Melrose Street. These are actually probably lead to paving projects further on down, but it's all clean and lining. And then we have the Washington Street main improvement at 2.7. All of these projects are part of the strategic plan that we had mentioned a while back in terms of concerted effort for the first 3 years, really to look at fire flow improvements.
That's what this Washington Street is. But we're also going to continue to do the water clean and light for water quality issues on those other ones. So this is what's on tap for this coming year. And then under the sewer, two large construction vehicles we intend to replace. And then we get to the I&I projects that we had talked about. This first one in Newtonville area, see a map here. It's kind of what we see in red. This is the area we're actually looking at currently, looking at the issues we find there and investigation. So we'll do the finish the investigation this spring and do the construction repairs this summer. This next area is West Newton area, where we're going to do the investigation this year and then come back next year and do those construction work. And
before you move,
that's
Newtonville before
that's to this area around here.
And how do we let people know?
Fred, you want
to? Some of the things we do is smoke testing and that sort of thing. We send out notices. We also do a reverse 911 call as well.
And the last thing I've got in the stormwater is the drain coming in on the left street. And we're just finishing up design, so we'll be putting that one out shortly to repair that one. So those are the CIP projects under public works.
Any questions?
And that's it.
Thank you. I'm familiar with the sewer and water projects, and I know that is dependent upon our passing the rate increase that the mayor's asking for. I'm not familiar with the utilities building envelope and roof repairs, and I think you're talking about the utilities building on Elliott Street with the sort of ziggurat roof, or this kind of that one, the one that goes like this? No.
No. The square building.
The square building. In the back. Okay. Are you getting a new roof for that number?
It's really not the roof that's leaking. It's more the brick corbelling that goes with the decorative band, if you will, around the top. That isn't flash properly.
So you don't need a roof replacement?
Not necessarily. There's a cap around the there's like a knee wall, if you will.
Okay. So, it's flashing issue.
Correct.
So it really is a repair.
Right.
What is the envelope work then? Is that the same thing?
It's the same thing, yes.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Any other questions?
On the third to the last slide under water, about how many linear miles does that represent, Dave? And line of aligning of water pipes?
About three miles.
Okay. And Homer Street. When you redo a street, do you normally do that? And if so, what's going to be done on Homer Street? And I presume you're going to do it by digging without digging up the street.
Right.
You want it? How do you do that?
These are access pits for the cleaning and lining equipment. This is the part of the street that hasn't been paved yet. It's only from Long Ave to Walnut Street. The part that we didn't pave.
Okay.
So we're going to clean
the
lining.
That's all I needed to know.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if you can focus on one of the water or sewer projects and or you might have them all, but to quantify what the savings are from those repairs. We all anticipate having a lot of water and sewer to do in the future. And if we can say this is what we did in 2013, this is what the impact was, I think that can be a very strong story.
It is, but it is very tough to quantify. We haven't been able to come up with enough for how much you're going to save for that.
We're actually doing, we're in the process of currently doing the investigation to see what the amount of repairs that we need on the sewer system currently. But if you know that there's a leak with water going through it, and you bust out of the sewer, but the sewer end is basically going to be the removal of visible infiltration of the system, leak pipes are identified. So once that investigation and engineering design is done, sometime this late in the spring, we will then be able to identify what it is.
That's sewer. Okay. that's fine. I mean, as long as we have, I just want to make sure that we're thinking about quantifying the impact of the projects.
Right.
So we can then say to the city, this is what we've actually did here. And as we move forward, we're going to have to do more of these. We should see savings commensurate to what we've seen in the past.
Mary?
Is the Clement Quinn Road project this year? This is the year that light on?
Yeah, that's correct. That's currently being bidden out as a particular conference on the 18th of May, and a visitor due the 24th of May.
Oh.
So it's in the bid processing now. Yes. It's fiscal 12, so that's the end.
Deb?
Well, I just wanted to make, I hope is a clarifying comment for Alderman Kalis. So when we all had that presentation on the water and sewer plan, I remember you were not well then. But this is to implement the first year of 10 years worth of work. And the idea is to move around the city in a logical way, which is partly defined by our knowing how much infiltration is running through each of the seven sewer meters that are positioned around the city, and choosing the area that is in the worst shape first. And then I think the first 3 years are in the first sewer shed, if you will. So I'm guessing that it'll take that three-year period before you can actually see this, actually measure the significant detail. But what you're doing now and what you'll be doing in front of each one of those projects over 10 years is this sort of detailed engineering analysis and scoping of the actual lines that are being proposed for work. But I think in that presentation there are some educated guesstimates on, you know, how much we'll save in each area in terms of infiltration.
Anybody else? This concludes your presentation.
This concludes my presentation.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Good job. Thank you all for coming this evening. Adjourn.
We have to move.
What?
Oh, you need to do something with the CIP for a bit or something.
Oh, is this CIP?
Straw vote.
Like me to move a
straw vote on the CIP.
Okay, that satisfies you now what you want. We're done.
I told you it wouldn't be 10.